This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to The Stand with Eamon Dunphy. Now, this weekend in the Premier League was really quite shocking for Arsenal fans and Liverpool fans. Both were beaten at home, Liverpool by Crystal Palace and Arsenal by Aston Villa. The Villa win was quite emphatic, although the goals didn't come until the last 10 minutes. And Liverpool, well, it was a very bad result for them, but we know they can leak goals, but we thought they could score them. And in the second half, they had plenty of chances, but they missed in a big way. And the beneficiary of all of this is Manchester City, who are 2 points clear now at the top, all played the same number of games. And we're joined now by John Giles to talk about another interesting weekend. John, it's hard to know where to start, but we should start with Arsenal, who were top of the league for the weekend.
Yeah.
Have had a really good season. They've had a really good run. And I think you and me, but you in particular, thought a couple of months ago that they were showing signs of really getting their act together and winning, being a team that could win the Premier League. But on the day, Villa were worth the win, weren't they?
Yeah, Arsenal were very disappointing, Eamon. As you said, we've been talking the last few weeks, and I particularly thought, well, they've got a good chance of winning it. But they were very disappointing. Villa outplayed them in most things. Well, they well deserved to win, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And they were very, very disappointing, Arsenal, on the day. And Villa took full advantage of them. I was very impressed with Villa. I haven't been that impressed with them all season. But certainly to win it the way they did, they well deserved it.
Yeah, they don't have a deep squad, John, Aston Villa, but Andy had a run of injuries, to one in particular to their main goal scorer, Watkins, who's a very good player, and he scored the second goal, which clinched the match. And he's in the England squad, but they haven't got a deep squad. They have got a very good coach, Unai Emery. Didn't last long at Arsenal when they appointed him after Arsene Wenger left, but this would be sweet revenge for him. And Villa are now in the Champions League places, which, you know, is remarkable, really. They went ahead of Spurs, and I'll talk about that in a minute because I watched Spurs and Newcastle. But he's done a really good job. He's won the Europa League 4 times. I think he's a really good coach, and they look really organised.
Well, they have been very good, Eamon, but they were particularly good against Arsenal. Arsenal, we know, are a very, very good team.
Yeah.
And I thought they totally outplayed them over the 90 minutes. And Watkins, again, Arsenal defensively didn't do their stuff. We saw Watkins scoring a goal, Eamon, because he was onside from inside his own half.
Yeah.
You know, and he had a clean run. Well, somebody was after him, but he got a clean run at the goal and took it exceptionally well. So I think Arsenal would throw everything at them, which it doesn't always work anyway. But Villa, as you said, I think they have a reasonably small squad in relation to Arsenal and Liverpool and Manchester City and that. But they were really good. I've seen them play before, and I thought Arsenal were on a good run, that they would take them. But they didn't. I mean, Villa deserved over the 90 minutes in my opinion, definitely deserve to win the match.
Yeah.
And he has done a big job. He hasn't spent a lot of money or anything, Eamon.
No, he won't be getting a lot of money. But there were good players there when he arrived, I think. Some of those Villa players I really like. McGinn, plays for Scotland, midfield, yeah. Tough lad, you know, but a good footballer.
Yeah.
And they have good defenders now that they didn't have before. Very good goalkeeper, John Martinez. I think he's an Argentinian.
He's very
good.
World Cup winner, Eamon.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he certainly does his stuff. But they've got, I can't even think of the defenders. They've got one or two defenders in now.
Yes.
Foreign lads. And they're really, really good. You know, they're covering the ground well. They're coming forward well. They're playing out from the back. And they're not scared to do it. So, I mean, Arsenal had certainly nothing to complain about with the way the match went. Villa deserved to win it. And he has done a big job with them. I mean, he hasn't spent a lot of money, but he's done a big job with them.
Yeah, I mean, that Tyrone Mings, they've let him out. They've let him put him on the bench where I think both of us think he should have been. But he was a big, big man at the back, but he wasn't very good. They've got this fella, Matty Cash, who's a right back, very, very good attacking fullback. And they Konsa, who's another very, very good player. So they have got players, but there's no depth in the squad, but it's some achievement to get them into it. If they get into the Champions League, it's a big deal for them. But let's talk about Arsenal, John. And you know this because you've been there. I thought the pressure of the situation, they're in top of the league, six matches to go now, and I think they felt it. Particularly as the game wore on, second half, 0-0 at half-time, second half, I thought there was a kind of sense that Arsenal really didn't have control of their emotions as much as anything.
Well, I don't think the manager helps them, Eamon, on the touchline, to be quite honest. Every time I look at him, he's jumping around, he's pointing here, he's pointing there, he's shouting at the players. But my experience in football, anyway, when you're on the touchline, actually, when I was a manager, you weren't on the touchline, you could be in the stand. But anyway, I was player manager. But you can't, as a manager, doing what he's doing, pushing, because nobody on the pitch can hear you, Eamon.
Yeah, no, don't
you? You know what I mean? You play it. You're the manager on the touchline. Nobody can hear when he's pointing here and he's pointing there. And there's no sense in it.
No.
It seems to me like he's geeing the players up.
Yeah.
Too much. You know, run over here, run over there, run over there. Let the players get on with it and do the job themselves. Now, I'm not blaming them for defeat because, you know, there's a lot of experienced players out on the pitch and Villa took them. They looked tired to me on the day. Amen.
Yeah, well, I was going to raise that with you, John, because both what Liverpool and Arsenal have in common, and indeed, to be fair to Manchester City, they do, they're all in the Arsenal and Man City in the Champions League.
Yeah.
Liverpool in the Europa League, that's Thursday night, they got a terrible result. But a lot of these clubs at the top, John, are playing an unbelievable amount of games.
Yeah.
Really, and if you're in the Champions League, it's not like the Carabao Cup or even the Europa League. In the Champions League, you got to put your best team on the pitch because you want to win it. It's a big tournament. So that is a factor, isn't it?
Yeah, well, they looked it on the match of the weekend with Arsenal, Eamon. You know, Villa looked. They just outplayed Arsenal, playing out from the back very well, but outplayed them.
Yeah,
totally. And we see the other teams as well. Unless you've got a huge panel of players, I mean, you can't. But Arsenal have a big panel of players. But on the day, definitely Villa took advantage of whatever that was wrong, whether it be tiredness or anything else with Arsenal, and well deserved to win it. But again, I think we've spoken before on your program, Eamon. There's too many matches. They just have too many matches.
They are, yeah. They're all playing too many matches. The players are tired. Lots of hamstring injuries and muscle strains around. Let's talk about Liverpool, John. Briefly, it's painful. I was watching it, and Palace have a new coach. They came out of the blocks real quick, pressed Liverpool high up the field, and I thought after 5 minutes, these guys are going to score. The last home game Liverpool played in the Premier League, Brighton took an early lead. This time I said, they're going to give a goal away. They are bad at the back. They did give a goal away, as after 14 minutes, they won 1-0 down. But then as I think we both have talked about, teams might get a goal start on Liverpool, but they go back into their shell. Palace never did. Yeah.
No, they played well, Eamon. I didn't see the whole match. I only saw the highlights.
Yeah.
But what I saw of them, they certainly weren't scared of it, you know, from the first minute out, you know, as we know, they scored early on. Really, really good play. Liverpool were caught a little bit and defensively. I think just to go off the point a little bit, Eamon, I think a lot of the top teams now, all the they seem to be talking about is attacking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think was the centre half lost the ball for the goal for
Konate, yeah.
Now, and there was nobody near him, Eamon. You know, he was totally on his own.
It was a tap in the 6-yard box. It was unbelievable. Yeah. But with
Man City are the same. You know, everybody, when somebody have the ball on the halfway line, say the centre half, and Diaz has the ball on the halfway line going forward, everybody's in front of him.
Yeah, well, John Stones moves into midfield. You see, there's a new thing now. Interestingly, one of our listeners sent me an email about it, and he'd like your opinion about it. There's a thing now where when you've got possession, like John Stones in Manchester City's case mostly, they move into midfield. Trent Alexander-Arnold at Liverpool maybe started it, but they are moving in. So you have three at the back instead of four at the back. And it can be a fullback or a centre defender who moves into midfield to give you the extra player in midfield. I just wonder what you think of that as a principle.
I think it's madness, Eamon.
Right.
I really do think it's madness. I mean, defenders are there to defend. And certainly, you can go forward at the right time.
Yeah.
But what I see them playing now, most of the teams, particularly Manchester City, and Liverpool, and if you look at the goal at the weekend when Van Dijk lost, when the other lad lost the ball, it was a chase for the goal.
Yeah.
There was nobody covering it. Fullbacks weren't covering it. It seems to be the trend, to say the least. It's that Manchester City do it. And everybody's in front of the player at the back.
Yeah.
You know, when Diaz has it in the halfway line, everybody's in front of him.
Yeah. Yeah,
and Liverpool were the same. As soon as he lost the ball on the halfway line, it was a chase for the goal.
Yeah, then
there was nobody covering that. As you said, I think it's the modern way, but I couldn't care less whether it's the modern way.
It's a fashionable thing now.
Fashionable. Well, fashionable is fashionable, but football is about doing the right things at the right time.
Well, that's
not
the answer,
in my opinion, Eamon. But that's the way it is in the game generally. I mean, even last week watching Manchester City, I think they were the match before, where they gave a few chances away.
Yeah, against Palace actually it was.
The Diaz is on the ball, and if he loses it, then it's a big chase for the goal.
Yeah.
There's nobody covering, thinking. In my opinion, they should be thinking when defenders. Defenders should be thinking the worst when somebody's on the ball.
Yep.
And then when it's okay to go, definitely go. But don't go on the hope, on the wing and a prayer. And I think that's what's happening in the modern game, as they call it, Eamon.
Yeah.
And they paid the price for it, Liverpool did.
Yeah. Now, City are 2 points clear, John, on 73 points. Arsenal, Liverpool, 71. There's six games left, so there is time for that to change. None of those sides have to play each other. So it's out of their hands in a way. You'd be looking for a surprise. And like in your time with Leeds, you were always there or thereabouts at this stage in the season. And I want to ask you about the effect that has, good or bad, on everyone, from the coach, in your case, Don Revy, to the players.
No, it's good, Eamon. You have to have that, you know. If you're not in the running, then okay, there's no pressure.
Yeah.
But you live on pressure in those situations.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you have to, that's what you want to do. If
you have to handle it,
team,
though, John, don't you?
Well, you do, yeah, I mean, but like, I'm talking in my time, like, we actually, you know, people, I said Leeds runners up, we actually won the league twice in the sprint. Towards the end, it was Liverpool and us most of the time at that time.
Yes.
And we had a spell where we dominated Liverpool.
Yep.
But you can't win it every year. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, but you could be, like people say about Leeds runners up, but if you're not in a runners up position and you're middle of the table, you don't have the reputation of being runners up. No, you have to be up there. You have to be up there all the time.
I suppose the question I want to ask you, or listeners would like to hear, do you feel the heat when you get to the last 5-6 games and you're banged there? Yeah. Do you feel the heat?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's the difference, isn't it, between champions?
It's the heat, Eamon. It's the heat that you want to feel.
Exactly. Yeah, but it doesn't.
It's not.
Not everyone can handle it. The great players can. Eamon.
Yeah, well, that's it. You know, you get some teams who get to their, say, semi-final of the cup, big matches, and they feel the heat, which means they're not really doing it. You know, players drop out. But if you're, in my opinion, the real teams over the years, whether it be Liverpool in their great years and Stiffen is still great years, you want to feel that heat.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what
you thrive on.
What you live for as a footballer. That's what you live for. Of course, it's easy to go in a match mid table. You're not going to win. You're not going to lose, and you can enjoy you can enjoy the game.
Yeah, you're not supposed to enjoy it.
Don't enjoy the game, Eamon. They enjoy the heat.
Yeah, and overcoming it and winning. They enjoy
exactly.
They sit in the dressing room after, sit in the coach on the way home. And job done. That's what you... Now, that's... At this stage in the season, although if you look at the teams that City, Arsenal and Liverpool have to play, you could say they should win that, they should win that. Doesn't work out like that always, John,
nothing,
does it? Because you need the nerve.
No, you need... I used to find, anyway, when you were playing, say, one of the mid-table teams at Leeds, you had to be up for it in a bigger way.
Yes.
Than playing Liverpool away. In Liverpool away, you're automatically up for it.
Yes.
Because you know it's Liverpool. It's a big match. It's a big crowd. But when you're playing a mid-table team and you're going for them, you have to kill them.
Yeah, yeah.
Mentally, you have to kill them.
From the start, yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll see who does the killing.
Yeah.
I'd like it to be Liverpool. But City, John... They found a couple of players, Phil Foden in particular, has had an outstanding season, hasn't he? I mean, he's really been a revelation. He's been a player in the team for a couple of seasons now, but this year he stepped up and particularly stepped up to score very big goals, John, and very good goals. He scored a great goal against Real Madrid last week in the Champions League as well. He's become a real top player, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's on his way to greatness, Eamon.
Right.
If we call it that way, and it's up to him now.
Yeah,
he has to have the attitude now to be better than he was last week and the week before and all that.
Yes,
you know that's what I've seen with great players. Never satisfied.
Yeah,
Eamon.
Yeah,
have to be better. It's an
obsession,
life thing. You know,
if
you have the talent, you have to have it. And he's one step away from it,
right?
In my opinion, so he has to now push himself to say, "Yeah, I've done well, but I've got to do even better week in and week out to become one of the greats." He has it. He definitely has it in him. It's just his own mental approach to it.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news: ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Now, I don't think I've talked to you about Roy Keane's remarks about Haaland, Erling Haaland, who we know is the City. He is a legend in the game for the number of goals he scores in just 23 years of age. Keane said, I was watching it, he said about Haaland that, I think it was after the Manchester Derby, he said, okay, he's a brilliant goal scorer, but the rest of his game, he said, he's like a Division 2, a League 2 player. And people picked up on that. Now, but I think he does the hardest thing in football and the most important thing in football. He wins your games with his goals. What do you think of that? Obviously, with Keane, it's over the top and it doesn't make sense. But he is a phenomenal goal scorer. Does he need to improve other parts of his game?
Well, everybody can improve other parts of their game. They can do. But I think he was out of proportion with the comments he made about Haaland.
Yeah.
I think what he actually was saying was he's a second division player, more or less, when he's not scoring goals and working harder than he does.
Yeah.
But you can't eliminate the goals he's scoring.
No.
You can't say, well, yeah, he's scoring 100 goals a year, but he's not getting back in the middle of the field. He's not chasing back.
Yeah.
I think that's what he was saying. But the strange thing about it, I mean, when Roy played himself, he was a midfield player, a great player.
Yeah.
And the one of the things that made him great was the midfield player doing the hardest jobs, getting the ball back and all that.
Yeah.
Well, he played, I think, didn't he play with Ronaldo? And
oh, he did, yeah.
And yeah, well,
he did. Yeah.
I don't remember him chasing back.
No.
And what was the other lad? What was the other lad? Is Eric?
Oh, Cantona.
Yeah.
No, well, Cantona. No. Roy did his running for him.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I remember vividly a cup final they won, I think, against Liverpool, actually. But they won 1-0, and Keane had an incredible game. He covered every blade of grass at Wembley, and they got late goal, I think, which I'm pretty sure Cantona scored. And a big headline next morning was Cantona, Cantona, Cantona. And he hadn't kicked the ball, John. But Keane's greatness as a footballer can't be overstated in terms of being a team player. But he, as an analyst, I don't think he's quite...
Well, you go back to when he was a player. There's no doubt he was a huge influence with the ability that he had. I mean, Keane came to his best when the opposition had the ball, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And he made sure Scholes and Giggs and Beckham were doing their stuff, getting back.
Yeah.
No, but I don't remember getting onto Ronaldo and the other guy getting back. And that's what I'm only making that in the situation with Haaland.
Yeah.
I mean, Haaland is doing a job for City, and it's the hardest job in the world, in my opinion, football, is scoring goals.
Yes.
Goal scorer has the hardest job in the world of scoring the goals. Now, if Haaland was only scoring half the goals or a quarter of the goals that he's scoring at the moment, then I think there would be a case to say, well, he's not working hard enough for the team to do what he's to get back in the middle of the field and chase around. But the goals that he's actually scoring, if I was playing with him, I'd say, you stay where you are.
Yeah, he's actually
don't
this season.
Don't go chasing back. You just keep scoring the goals. Because it's scoring the goals, is the hardest thing in football.
Oh, I know.
So it's very, very difficult to want a player like Haaland, who's scoring as many goals as he is, to be chasing back in the middle of the field as well.
Oh, yeah, it's madness. It's also, I think what Keane was also referring to was his feet and his control as well. But he scored 20 goals this year, which is low by his standards. Very low, actually.
But I think his touch is good, Eamon.
I think his touch is good. I think he's a very good player.
I think he's a great player with the goals he scored. He doesn't, like, he's scored, this is a few seasons now he's been scoring a lot of goals.
Yeah,
luckily not the goals. He's great. You know, I think he does his fair share of what he does, chasing back when I see him playing. He's not hanging around, he's not. And definitely he's goal scored, and you have to, it's like going back to Jimmy Greaves' time, one of my time, Dennis Law. Well, Jimmy Greaves had a thing about Jimmy. All he does is score goals.
Yeah.
All he does is score goals. He can bloom and sure, that's all you want him. That's all you want him to do. And I think the remarks that he made last week about more or less was, all he does is score goals.
Yeah.
Well, I'd live with him on that. If I was playing with him, I'd live with him on that.
Yeah, and, you know, just to make another point here about Haaland, which I feel sorry for it in a way. Strikers, John, they like the ball delivered early because they've got more space. If you play the way City play, I'd like your opinion on that. We've talked about it sometimes, but not in depth. The way they play, slow build up, pass, and it all becomes very compressed. Now, in my view, strikers, particularly Haaland, actually, because he's quick, strong, and he sees the runs. But if you're up front, you could make 10 runs in one move. The ball never comes. Do you think it could be very frustrating for him sometimes to they play?
I would say on occasion, only occasionally, Eamon.
Yeah.
Because you have to go back to the amount of goals he scored.
Oh, yes.
His scoring.
And big goals, too.
You know, big goals. Yeah. So that's the way Manchester City play, right? Now, if they played it another way and got the ball up to him quicker, right?
Yeah.
I don't think he'd score as many goals in that team.
Right. Okay.
So you have to go with the team that you're in as a goal scorer, right? The way City play, are they making chances for him?
Yes.
Is he scoring the goals?
Yes. So all boxes take. De Bruyne and Grealish, when he's in the team, strangely, but De Bruyne in particular has a good link up with him, made a lot of his goals, came back actually, De Bruyne, John, he's had 6 months out nearly with a very bad hamstring, which needed an operation. He's back now and he's playing really, really well.
Yeah.
They're playing in the Champions League tonight, I think, and their match against Madrid was fascinating.
Yeah, he's the one that can lay on the goals, Eamon.
Yeah, De Bruyne.
No, but if he played in the team without Haaland, all his passing could come to nothing. That's what makes the team. He's the one that can produce the passes, but he has to have somebody stick the ball in the back of the net. And we've watched Haaland over the last couple of years, Eamon. He very seldom misses one.
No.
He puts them away. But that's a brilliance in itself.
Yes.
That's what makes a team. De Bruyne does what he does where he's brilliant in his passing. But he has to have somebody to stick in the back of the net. And I always think, well, sticking the ball in the back of the net, Eamon, is the hardest thing in football.
Yep. Now, just a final question, John. Villa or Tottenham? At the moment, we're working on the assumption it'll be top four. We'll get into Champions League this year. But I watched Spurs and Newcastle, and Newcastle killed them. Now, this fella, Van der Vaar, they've got playing centre-half. I think he's the best centre-half I've seen for a long time. New guy, playing for Spurs, quick, reads the game well, two great feet. He slipped twice, and Newcastle took advantage of it. They beat Spurs. They gave him a hiding, John, 4-0. Did you see it?
Yeah.
No.
I didn't see it, Eamon.
No, because you were away.
I saw the goals, that's all.
Yeah, now, this fella Gordon at Newcastle is a really good player, John. But leaving that aside for now, Spurs got a hiding. And I felt sorry for Postecoglou on the touchline. And I think they'll come back. It's hard to call it, but Villa are 3 points ahead of Spurs and they've played a match more. I would predict that Spurs are still a dangerous team for anyone to play. The question is, which of those would you fancy for the top four?
I think if Villa can play, Eamon, the way they played at the weekend,
yes,
they'd be more solid. I'd put more money on Villa to do it than Spurs. Spurs play in a special way, which is very, very good, and he's done a great job doing what he's doing. But I don't think they'd have the consistency if Villa are up for it in the way that they were up for it. I think Villa would be more consistent in the run-in than Spurs.
Okay, John, as always, that's interesting, fascinating, actually. I don't really like returning to things that we've done before, but Manchester United have never finished lower than seventh in the Premier League. They were terrible at the weekend against Bournemouth. I think you saw the match or the highlights.
I saw that match, Eamon.
They were terrible, John. Bournemouth are robbed by VAR. They didn't get a penalty they should have got. United got a penalty they shouldn't have got. And Fernandes. But Bournemouth had 20 shots on goal. I don't normally keep a record, but Manchester United had 8. For a club like Manchester United to labour the way they laboured on Saturday at Bournemouth, which is a ground that I played at many times, when the capacity was 12,000, a very, very small club on the south coast, is really shocking. United are gone, John.
No, they didn't. I saw one thing, Eamon, that's not a good sign. Garnaccio.
Yeah.
On social media, had a sulk over being subbed at halftime.
Yeah.
Said he was thrown under the bus by the manager.
Yeah.
The manager spoke to the player and now considers the matter closed.
Well, he's fallen out with us.
Too much of that going on, Eamon. Too much disrespect for the manager to be doing. And all he's saying afterwards, yes, I've seen that, when it's closed down. And I saw two players in the right back position, Eamon, for Manchester United. And I think none of them made an effort to get back.
That's right.
And they lost the goal. And all I could see was the two of them arguing with each other about who should have been getting back.
Yeah.
The two of them should have been getting back.
Yeah. It's a terrible,
do you know what I mean? That shouldn't be happening in a top-class club. Everybody should know their job and should be doing their job.
Yeah.
And that certainly doesn't seem to be the case at Manchester United.
No. They're in a bad place. Casemiro, who was a really outstanding player for Real Madrid, I think he's got 5 Champions League winners' medals or 4. He's the third highest played player in England, John.
Yeah.
His legs, he can't raise a gallop. His legs have gone. It's very sad to see.
It's sad, but what we see from the outside, there's a lot going on that
behind
shouldn't
scenes
be going on
at United,
And the great thing about football, Eamon, is that if things are not right at the club, it manifests itself on the pitch.
Yes. Yeah.
There's no hiding in football.
No.
It's not like some business. Somebody is a business and they can be a bit tricky in that.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't be tricky in football.
No.
Thank goodness. We can see everybody's on the pitch and supporters are there, press people are there, television there, and we can all see it.
Yeah.
And if it's good, it's good, Eamon. If it's not good, it'll show up.
No hiding place.
No hiding place. And that's what I see at Manchester United. There's too many, this player is not playing well, this player is not doing this player is not doing that. Like that. There's too much of that at Manchester. On the pitch, players not playing as well as they should, not getting back, not doing this, not doing that. And that's football. We can all see it. And it's what we see at United at the moment is definitely not good.
Okay, John, as always, we're grateful to you and thank you very much for joining us. We're grateful to John, to all of you for listening. That's all we have time for. We'll talk to you soon.